Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us, as always, as we continue our study of creation and science according to Islam. In our last program, we talked about the creation of the pen. That is the pen which Allah used to write on the guarded board, which we know from the description of Muslim scholar, it is a huge board. The height of this board is equal to the distance between the heavens and the earth, and the width of this board is as far as the east from the west. And Allah wrote by His pen on that board the measurement of everything He created in the universe. And of course, some of you may think I was joking or I'm not serious about the creation of the pen. That's why we will begin our study today by mentioning to you one verse from the Quran to learn about the pen. Not only we're going to learn about the pen, but we will also learn about noon. And what is noon? Wait until you discover for yourself. First of all, let's read what Allah said in Quran chapter 68 and verse 1.
Noon, I swear by the pen and what they write.
Here we see Allah is swearing by two different objects. First, He swears by noon, that is the letter N in the English language, which is similar to the Arabic, the letter noon. And then Allah also is swearing by the pen. What pen? This is the first thing Allah created before He created anything. It is the pen which Allah used to write all the measurement for the recipe of the creation of the universe, which Allah put together 50,000 years before He ever created anything. In our last program, we ended our study by asking the question, how big is Allah? How big is the throne of Allah? And as I shared with you, I will repeat that we do not have the description about the size of the throne of Allah or Allah Himself, but we know from the Quran that there were 8 angels who carry the throne of Allah. And I wonder, how big are these angels? I mean, are they 6 foot, 10 foot, 20 foot tall angels? Because depending on the size of the angels, we can imagine the size of that great throne of Allah. And that's how we can know the size of Allah Himself who sat on His throne. So now, let us look together at the description of Muslim scholars according to the teaching of the Hadith, the teaching of Muhammad, to learn about the size of the angel. And that will give you some understanding to the real size of the great throne, the throne of Allah. And obviously, this will help us to know the approximate size of Allah Himself. Listen carefully, please.
700 years is the measurement of traveling between an earlobe and a shoulder of just one angel, as mentioned in the Hadith. That's about 12 million miles.
Now we can truly understand the size of the great throne of Allah. There are 8 angels, ladies and gentlemen, carrying the throne of Allah. And the size of these angels must be huge. Because now from the Hadith we know that the distance between the ear loop and the shoulder of the angel is 700 years traveling measurement. That is roughly 12 million miles. That is with the consideration of the speed of a camel, not the speed of a car or an aeroplane or even a rocket. So the angels are not just normal size angels like we imagine from the teaching of the Bible. No, they are huge. I don't know how many million miles is the angel's size from his head to his toe. But that is the reality of the imagination of Muhammad and the Muslim scholars concerning the throne of Allah. It was a great throne and it was carried by 8 angels, and the size of these angels is literally in the hundreds of millions of miles. So now we can come to the conclusion that the throne of Allah is very, very large, and now we can believe that Allah Himself is real huge God. For He was able to sit in this huge throne, the throne of Allah. And now we can understand why Muslims always shout Allahu Akbar in their prayer in the mosque or in the battlefield. Allahu Akbar, which means Allah, the God of Muhammad, is bigger. He is huge. He is big. He is millions and millions and millions of miles big. Well, let's go back to Quran chapter 68 verse 1, which states, Noon, I swear by the pen and what they write. We understand the pen is what Allah has created first to write all the measurements of all the creation, the recipe which Allah used to bring the universe to exist. But what about Noon? What is Noon, whom Allah swear by here in Quran chapter 68 verse 1? Now I'd like to share with you the interpretation of Ibn Abbas, who is the cousin of Muhammad. Listen carefully about what Noon is all about.
Ibn Abbas said, Allah swears by the Noon, which is the whale that carries the earth on its back while in water, and beneath which is the bull, and under the bull is the rock, and under the rock is the dust, and none knows what is under the dust save Allah.
So what is Noon? It is a huge whale, and that whale carried the earth, plural, because as we'll see in a minute here, that Allah created not just one earth, as we see in the nature today, or as it is written in the Bible, but there are actually seven earths. This well carries the earth, seven earths, on its back, while the well is in the water. And Ibn Abbas said, which is the bull. So now we're talking about the male well, who is under the water, and above the back of that whale, there is seven earth. And what is under the bull? We found that under the bull is the rock. And under the rock, there was dust. And to be very, very precise, to know the knowledge in detail, that there is something under the dust, and we do not know what it is. Only Allah knows what is under the dust. Do you see the details of the creation according to Ibn Abbas? Allah forgot to mention any of this information anywhere in the Quran. But Ibn Abbas somehow knew it from Muhammad through the Hadith, as now we know more details than what we can carry in our little tiny brain. Only Allah knows what is under the dust. Imagine with me, a huge bull whale. And that whale carries seven earths above its back. You may think this whale is sit still in the water. No, it moves. And that's why, actually, in one of the times, somehow something went in his nose and this ball whale sneezed. Imagine with me when you go like, Hatsi! Your body will shake. And when the whale shook, the seven earths also shook. That's why Allah did a little bit adjustment in the creation of the earth. You know what Allah did? He actually created stabilizers. What is the stabilizers? It is the mountains which you see all over the earth. Why Allah put the stabilizers over the earth? So it will not shake in case the whale sneezes again in the near future. This is not just something I made up. That is the word of Allah in the Quran and the interpretation of Muslim scholars to all these verses. You can read about that in Quran chapter 13 verse 3, Quran chapter 15 verse 19, Quran chapter 16 verse 15, Quran chapter 21 verse 31, Quran chapter 27 verse 61, Quran chapter 31 verse 10, Quran chapter 41 verse 10, Quran chapter 50 verse 7, and finally Quran chapter 77 verse 27. These are the verses from which we learn that Allah created the stabilizers. And these stabilizers, once again, were put on the top of the earth. These are the mountains to stop the earth from shaking in case this huge whale sneezes in the near future. Now, how about the creation of seven earths and seven heavens? This is exactly what Allah said in Quran chapter 65 and verse 12. Listen about the creation of the earth and the heavens as stated in the Quran.
Allah is who has created seven heavens and the same number of earths.
Here it is, America. Seven heavens and seven earths. And I don't know why in the world we're teaching Islam in our public schools. Which part of the science of the Quran can be used in our public schools to accommodate the rest of the science which we teach in our school textbooks? And wait until we know more about the nature of these seven earths or the size of these seven heavens and the seven earths.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Let me share with you now from the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith. That is how we can know more details about the creation of the heavens and the earth. Because simply to read the Quran, Allah creates seven heavens and seven earths, that does not give us any more information to know about the true nature of these heavens and these earths. Listen to what Muhammad said about, first, the nature of the heavens of Allah.
Then Muhammad said, "Do you know what is above you?" They said, "Allah and His Messenger know better." He said, "Indeed, it is a preserved canopy of the firmament, whose surge is restrained." Then he said, "Do you know how much is between you and between it?" They said, "Allah and His Messenger know better." He said, "Between you and it is the distance of 500 years. Then he said, "Do you know what is above that?" They said, "Allah and His Messenger know better." He said, "Verily, above that are two heavens. Between the two of them, there is a distance of 500 years, until he enumerated seven heavens. What is between each of the two heavens is what is in between the heavens and the earth.
Maybe you did not get exactly what Muhammad said. Just use your imagination with me. Muhammad is laying on his back in this beautiful morning, or perhaps beautiful night, and all his companions around him, and they were looking up at the sky. And Muhammad is asking his companions this question: "Do you know what is above you?" And they look and they see the stars, or they look and they see the sun. Whatever they're looking at, depending on what time he has this meeting with his companion, they did not bother to tell him, "It is a heaven." No, they answer him the polite way, the respected way, how you talk to the messenger of Allah. May Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be on him. And that is how the companions of Muhammad answered him when they said, "Allah and His Messenger know better." We're not going to answer this question for you, O Apostle of Allah. You and your Allah knows better. We do not know what is really above us. And that's when Muhammad told them, "It is a heaven." And then Muhammad asked them, "Do you know what is above this heaven?" And the answer, once again, in the very respected way, from the companion of Muhammad to the Apostle of Allah, as once again they said to Muhammad, "Allah and His Messenger know better." And then Muhammad explains that there is a second heaven. And then Muhammad gives him a little bit more details about the thickness of this heaven, when he said that each heaven is 500 years of traveling. And then this empty space between the first heaven and the second heaven, which is also a 500 years worth of traveling. And Muhammad continued to repeat his question, do you know what is above it? Do you know what is above it? Do you know what is above it? And now we find out there are seven heavens. The thickness of each one of these heavens is 500 years worth of traveling, and the distance between each one of these heavens and the other heaven is 500 years worth of traveling. And you may say, how do we know what is this distant? I can tell you for sure. It's very simple. Ride on a camel and go for 1 year, and you see how many miles you went in that 1 year. You see, Muhammad did not know the speed of the airplane, or the speed of a car, or the speed of a rocket, because when Muhammad was talking to his companions a good 1400 years ago, and he's explaining to them the distance by the traveling which they use in their days, it was not a car or an airplane, but it was simply the speed of a camel. So they know what it is to travel for 1 month or 1 year, because that's how they know how to measure the traveling in their days. Muhammad was not talking about any other method of traveling, but the method which he and his companions would use in such time, which is the speed of a camel or the speed of a horse. So in simple words, so whatever the speed of a camel in an hour, time it to 24, time it to 365 days, time it to 500 years, and that's how you know how big is each one of these heavens. And then you time it to 7, and 7 spaces between each one of these heavens, that'll give you the exact measurement of how far is the seventh heaven from the earth. But so far we're talking about the heavens. Because guess what? The creation of the universe have more than just the heavens. Muhammad is going to go in a little bit deeper conversation with his companion as he asks him about where they are standing on. That's when Muhammad asked his companions, do you know what is under you? Exactly. That is the words of Muhammad to his companions. Listen carefully to the following hadith.
Then Muhammad said, do you know what is under you? They said, Allah and His Messenger know better. He said, indeed, it is the earth. Then he said, do you know what is under that? They said, Allah and His Messenger know better. He said, verily, below it is another earth, between the two of which is a distance of 500 years. Until he enumerated 7 earths, between every 2 earths is a distance of 500 years.
You got the answer, America? It's very simple. Muhammad is talking about the earth, where he and his companion were standing on that morning or that evening. And he's asking them, do you know what is under you? You know, it is common sense. Any person, if you ask, do you know what's under you? Anyone would say it is the earth. But once again, here is the answer of the respected companions of the Apostle of Allah. They will not answer his question. They will just tell him, Allah and you, O Apostle of Allah, know better. And Muhammad said, it's an earth. Wow. What a great information the faithful companions of Muhammad needed to know so badly. They're standing on earth. But the question which come after that, do you know what is under the earth, is a harder question. Nobody knows. In Muhammad's days, of course, because right now, if you ask your little children, they will tell you, the earth is like a ball, and it is floating in the air, nothing below it, for the earth is floating in the heavens of the earth. But that's okay, listen carefully. For Muhammad answered his own question to his companions when he said, it is another earth, and below it another earth, and below it another earth, and below it another earth. As he continued to repeat his question, he explained to his companions that there are 7 earths, and the distance between each one of these earths and the found earth is, once again, 500 years of traveling. We're still thinking about camel speed. All right? So don't get confused now and get this huge measurement, because the speed of the traveling in Muhammad days and his companion, as they would understood, it has to be the speed of a camel. That is the universe according to Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. Seven heavens and seven earths. Just imagine with me, as we're going to see a little bit later, that the earth is flat, that there are seven pancakes sitting on your dish early in the morning as you're about to eat your big breakfast. Each one of these pancakes is an earth. Between them, there is an empty space of 500 years worth of traveling with the camel speed limit. And when you get to the top earth, you're going to see this empty space, which is also another 500 years of traveling. And above this first space, there's the first heaven. And you go on and on up for seven heavens. So now we ask the question, according to Muhammad, according to Islam, how big is the universe? The answer is very simple. You can do your math and you can come up with the true measurement of the universe as Muhammad described it in the hadith to his Muslim companions. Don't forget that Allah in the Quran is the one who declared to us that there are seven heavens and seven earths. So if somebody tells you there's another heaven above it, there's only seven. Or there's another earth below it, there's only seven. Seven heavens, seven earths, as it is written in Quran chapter 65, verse 12. Do you want to know how big is the universe of Muhammad? Do you want to know how big is the universe of Islam? Please join us again for the next broadcast as we will continue our study of creation and science of Islam. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.